Amen. All right. This morning, we're going to talk about starting where you are. Starting where you are. You know, so many times in life, we get so caught up and we get so bogged down in where we think we should be that we really can't concentrate on where we are. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name, from the top of every head to the sole of every foot, Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way today. I ask that you reach into our hearts, into our minds, God. Penetrate those hard, those stony, those thorny places, Lord. Set us free in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. We ask for clarity of your word. We ask that you reveal to us where we can be better, where we can serve better, where we can worship better, God, where we will be better people for the world that we live in. In your holy name, and everybody, give me a victorious amen. 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 Please turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're so grateful to have the visitors with us this morning. Thank you so much for coming. Would you give them a hand? When people can choose to be anywhere they want to be and they choose to come to us, I want to recognize them and say thank you. I've gotten probably 10 or 15 texts or phone calls this week, people out of town or people with viruses, people needing traveling mercies or people sick. Amanda's down and sick this morning, and we just want to lift them up this morning, and we're going to pray for them during the altar service. And we're going to believe that God is going to heal them, move mightily to get them back into his house. Amen. All right, so when we are starting where we are, I want to start out by addressing Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. It reads like this. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried more the great, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he, casting away his garment, rose and he came to Jesus after Jesus commands that he be brought to him. And Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive thy sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. He followed Jesus in that way. Today, every one of us, today just so happens to be Pentecost 2018. Today is Pentecost. And I want to start by saying that the disciples, the people that was in the upper room, if we went to Acts chapter 2, and we found them gathered together, we would find that they was starting a new day. It's another day in their life, just like we have today. And they are choosing to do something profound with it. They are choosing to go to the upper room to seek God's face and to pray. God did not show up and give them the gift of his Holy Spirit as they walked around and did their daily activities. Please notice that. They was obedient. So as we sit here, we have a new day. And we all are wherever we are in our lives. You are where you are in your work life. You are where you are in your personal life, in your relationship life, in your health life. And every one of us has got to come into a circle, if you will, and we have to make a decision what we're going to do with today. The Bible tells us that this is the day that the Lord has made, that we should rejoice and be glad in it. But how often do we jump out of the bed rejoicing and glad in it, charging through the house and getting everybody riled up for Jesus? How often do we show up at our job at 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, and that is what we're doing is charging people to get them up and fired up for Jesus? We don't exactly do that everywhere that we go. We don't exactly live through that letter for letter as we're going through. Many times we find ourselves like Bartimaeus sitting by the wayside. Many times we find ourselves we're not going to call it a pity party, but we find ourselves living. We find ourselves struggling. We might find ourselves in depression or oppression. We might find ourselves sick, as many do this morning. We might find ourselves struggling in some form, fashion, or manner. But that does not change you are where you are. Just because Bartimaeus had done this no telling how many times, day after day after day, the scriptures tell us that when they said that this is Jesus of Nazareth passing by, it says that he cries out and he says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." The people was talking enough that Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. Even though at that point he was not being introduced, he wasn't touching him, and he had not formally met him, the hearsay of who Jesus is has come through the area, and this man has heard it enough that he knows exactly who that is without the necessity of seeing him. And he begins to cry out. He begins to cry out. And the dignitaries, the people that are present, pretty much look at him and shush him down. And they say, "You need to be quiet. You need to calm down. You need to be a little less abruptive. You need to shh." That's pretty much what they're saying to him. And the Bible tells us that he cries out all the more. Maybe it's a day that we need to learn to cry out all the more. Sometimes we have a hard time even lifting our hands and saying, "God, I need you." Because we don't want to do it in public. Or maybe we're at the doctor's office and we get a bad report. And is what we want to do is say, "Lord, I need you." But for some reason we're too bound up just to do that. Because I don't know what the nurse might think or what the doctor might think. I'm not sure what my coworkers will think if I just let it go. If I let my worship go out in public the way that I do at home, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? What are they going to do? Who cares? The help does not come from them. The help comes from Him. And if the last resort is what we have to do is dig down deep and get rid of our pride and shell off that nonsense that holds us down, then we need to learn to stand up and say, "You know what? You're the only thing that I have anyway. You're it." We can say, "Well, I can go to mama, or I can go to daddy, I can call my grandparents, or I could go to this one, or I could go to that one." Let me tell you something, they're not always going to be there. That is a hard thing for us to try to swallow. It's a hard thing for us to face. But the truth of the fact of the matter is they are not always going to be there, but Jesus will. They're not always going to be there, but Jesus will. We have got to learn to cry out by the wayside if that's what it takes. And we have got to start exactly where we are. Is it comfortable? Probably not. Is it where you want to be? Probably not. Did you choose to be there? Probably not. I'm sure Bartimaeus didn't. I'm sure that some of that was just pushed upon him. I've been fired before at a job, but does that mean that I went in with the intention of being fired that day? No. I've been laid off from jobs before, but does that mean that I walked into the job that morning and was like, "You know what, I can't wait to get laid off today because my bills are going to suffer"? No. Did I wake up and want to be sick? You know, I just want to be sick today. No. No, 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 no. Life does not ask you questions. It forces you to participate. And we find ourselves sitting quiet. We sit quiet for many reasons. We sit quiet because sometimes we don't know what else to do. Sometimes we sit by the wayside quiet because we're ashamed. Sometimes we sit by the wayside quiet because we don't want people to know that we have problems. Sometimes we sit there because we've got too much pride to say, "You know what, I can't do it." Why do we sit by the wayside and suffer when down on the inside we know that's wrong? You are a child of the Most High God. You do not sit by the wayside. You do not sit by the wayside. You have to learn to speak up. You have to learn to see yourself as, "I am Chris," or "I am Betty," or "I am Josh," or "I am Matt," or "I am Mike," or "I am whoever you are." Put your name there. I am a child of the Most High God, and God wants me to stand up and praise and worship Him regardless of what my road looks like today. Regardless of what it looks like today. doesn't change how I act, and it doesn't change how I believe. It should not change how you act, and it should not change how you believe. If you get in the middle of Walmart and you decide, you know what, I want to tell somebody God bless you, don't worry about if they're a believer or not. Just say it. Stop tiptoeing around and expecting everything to just change on its own. I preached a message several weeks ago called the if-thens of God. If we do, then He does. Every story in the Bible, we can say God intervened. We can say God showed up. We can say God delivered. Yes, but somebody cried out. Somebody picked up a stone. Somebody picked up a shaft or a spear. Somebody did something first. Then God showed up. Is what we're doing is when we pick up our stones or we pick up our slings or our bows or whatever it is, the weapon of the day that we're using, the Word of God right there, whatever it is that we're using, whatever it is that we're holding on to, that becomes, as James described, and I say this a lot, James said, don't be a hearer of the Word, be a doer of the Word, and then continue. When you pick it up and you say, okay, I've been by the wayside, but I'm done being ashamed. I'm done being ridiculed. I'm done being put down and put out. I don't care about persecution. I am going to cry out and start living right where I am. That is the moment when God sees that they have just used what they've got. That's where we live, people. We live in a place where you feel persecuted. We live in a place where you feel put down, where you don't exactly want to say what's on your mind regarding the things of God, sometimes because of what is the world going to think. The pastor says, don't worry about it. They don't get to answer for you. You will stand before God and answer on your own. And I want to tell you something. Every person here is here because somebody invited you. Somebody did something. Somebody sowed a seed to build a building. Somebody sowed a financial seed that bought a chair. Somebody walked next door and said, you know what? I know things have been hard in your life, but I want you to come to church with me. I believe God. Somebody did something that created you and your parents and your grandparents being in a house of God somewhere. Return the favor to the world. Live loud, Jesus lives, in front of everybody, and cry out from the wayside. You know what? It's okay. Life's not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not always sinless, and I'm not always feeling like I'm the head and not the tail, or above and not beneath, or Alpha or Omega, but that does not change who God is, and I'm going to continue to worship and cry out until God moves on my behalf. That's where we should live. But we have to make up our minds to start living it right where we are. Well, I'm sick and I don't feel like it. You're not so sick to say, Lord, I worship you. We're not too sick to say, Lord, I'm looking for you to move today. We're not too sick to provoke God. Ever how quiet the whisper is, God hears it. We're not too downtrodden and so beat down that we can't start today. Jesus and the disciples are coming in and out of cities all through the Bible. And there's many examples of people by the wayside, people that wasn't on Jesus' appointment book, people that wasn't on the agenda, and they cried out with a loud voice. And they get the attention of God. Or as Jesus is being pressed, and people are all around him, they come sneaking up behind him and they grab the hem of his garment. There's many ways to get the attention of God, ladies and gentlemen. There's many ways to get into the presence of God. But every one of them requires that we stop being a bystander to life and we start participating in the things of God. Start where you are. When the children of Israel are captive in Egypt, we find that they start to cry out to ask for deliverance. Moses, living in the palace, king's kid, if you will, God starts to deal with him and things happen in his life. Moses tries to offer excuses, but basically the point is this. Moses started where he was. And look at what God did. Look who God delivered. An entire nation. David shows up at the militant camp. And he finds a giant is standing out there taunting and making fun and persecuting the people of God. Persecuting the army. And the army is, for a better word, hiding. Afraid to go face the giant. David didn't say, you know what, everybody, I'm going to go home and pray about it. I'm going to go be a bystander for a few more days, a few more weeks. I'm going to go buy some time and see if God will speak to me to go and stand up for him. He said, you know what, I'm going to start right where I am. And if that's five smooth stones, we're going to wind them up and we're going to let them go. We might need all five and then we might have to run for more. I don't know what went through his head, but it only took God one. It may only take one word, people of God. It may only take one moment. It may only take one episode of worship. It may only take 1 second of obedience that completely turns your situation around simply because you decided, regardless of what I see, no matter the giants in front of me, no matter the army in front of me, no matter who's with me or who's not with me, I am going to do what God said, and I fully expect God to move. Second thing is you have to learn to use what you have. Use what you have. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Judges 3:31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who smote of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also saved Israel. There are two Shamgars in Scripture. And from reading and studying, I get the idea that there are two different men with the same name that are mentioned. This particular man, he gets one verse in the Bible with his name in it. One verse. There's no history of him. He's one of the third judges. But Shamgar did something extraordinary. He defended where he stood with an ox goad. If your ox is in the ditch, you need an ox goad to go try to provoke them out. An ox goad is a wooden stick. On the end of it, it has a metal clasp with a sharp point on it. And it's used to poke and prod the oxen to get them to move, to guide them in the direction that they should go. He had an ox goad, so I guess that means that somewhere he had an ox. I guess that makes him a farmer of sorts. He's being attacked by 600 men coming into the land. He did not go in his house and pray about it, that I can find. He didn't run, go jump on the phone to try to figure out if I can get some help. The Bible simply tells us that he took up his ox goad and he decided that whatever happens here, I'm going to stand with God and I'm going to use what I have. Not only does it tell us that he smote 600 men, that's odds of 600 to 1. It next says, and he also saved Israel. He also saved Israel. He gets one verse. He gets one moment in time where the Bible is going to show us what this man did. And at first it tells us his name, and then it tells us that his odds are 600 to 1. But he picks up a stick with a metal point on it, and he goes to work doing what he felt like he needed to do. And it says that he rendered the nation being saved or free. You have to quit looking at what people have, and you need to start looking at what you have. Well, I'm shy. Who cares? Well, I'm this, or I'm that. I was disadvantaged. I didn't grow up in a rich family. You know what? If I had the resources that they have, I would do something great for God. If I could afford to do this, I would do something great for God. If I could have went to a top-end college and learned it, I could have really impacted the world for God. If I could have just had the opportunity not to go to work right after high school, and I could have went to college and I could have got a trade or a degree, then I could have done so much better than what I have. We have either said it or we have either thought it at some point. You have to put your situation there. But God says, don't worry about what other people have. Worry about what you have. Don't be jealous about what they have, and don't covet what they have. What they have doesn't mean anything to you. I'm not a farmer, so I don't have an ox goad at home. Don't have one. But let me tell you what I do have. I have enthusiasm. Maybe you have some of that. I have passion. Maybe you have some of that. I don't know how to quit. I'm stubborn. Maybe you have a little bit of that. You have to figure out what is it that God has given you, and you have to look at your situation, and you have to say, you know what, God, I'm going to start where I'm at, and I'm going to start with what you've given me, and I'm going to watch you move. I'm going to watch you deliver. Leave the doubt out of it. Leave the doubt out of it. Did Shamgar doubt how this might turn out? He was human. I will bet at a point he did. But he did not let it affect the fact that he went and he engaged himself in what he saw as the right thing. The right thing in your life, the will of God in your life, is really quite easy. I'm going to do a sermon series on the will of God coming up in a few weeks. So many people struggle for years and years and years trying to figure out what is the will of God, the perfect will of God. We are going to address that. For today's purpose, the will of God in your life is doing and going in the direction that God spoke and said, go in. If God has given you a dream, if He has given you ambition, if He has spoke into your life and He has given you a vision, write it down. Get you some crayons and draw a picture of it. Hang it on the refrigerator right beside the grandkids or the kids' stuff. Wake up every day and say, you know what, God, I am not a quitter, and I have some passion, I have some enthusiasm. I'm going to use what I've got. I don't have much left over out of my paycheck, but I've got some nickels and dimes. I'm going to sow them into a kingdom of God. I'm going to keep on trudging. I'm going to keep on pushing. I'm going to keep on doing what Bartimaeus is. I'm going to keep crying out, and I fully expect you to move in a mighty way in my life. But it will not happen if we don't start and we don't recognize what we have. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you start looking at the inventory of weapons that you have in your life, you're going to figure out that, you know what? I've got more than what I thought. I've got more than what I thought. You may look around and even decide, you know what? I've got about a half a cup of enthusiasm, and I've got about 3/4 of a cup of passion, and I've got 7 gallons of bashfulness, and I really don't know what to do except pray. Prayer is the only thing other than your spirit that is going to come out of you that lives forever. Don't need to say it again? Prayer is about the only thing that you have that can come out of your life besides your spirit that is going to live forever. Prayers are eternal. There's no expiration date. I don't get down and say, you know what, God, I need you to move. I need you to do. Lord, open doors. Father God, I need a raise at work. I need a blessing. I could really use a promotion. I don't sit down and pray that and then get to the end and say, Lord, I need it in 6 weeks, 14 days, 36 minutes. Expiration date. And you don't either. Our culture, when we pray, we want to look around and say, If you could microwave it and send it on down, I would appreciate it. But the fact of the matter is, it may take a lifetime. It may take a lifetime. Use what you have. You have a testimony. You have a testimony. You have worship. You have praise. You have prayer. Use the weapons that you have. Confront the problems in your life through those weapons with the Word of God. With the Word of God. Resist division. Resist division. Zechariah 4:10 tells us this. It tells us that do not despise small things. Do not despise small things, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. You might say, or have said since I've been up here speaking, you might have said, you know what, but those are such small things. A man that is too big to do small things is too small to do big things. Amen. Amen. Don't despise where you start. Well, I feel like I'm starting at the bottom of the barrel. I feel like I'm 20 years behind. Don't pay any attention to the small things. Don't sweat the little things. Give it to God. Say, Lord, you know, I feel like I'm 40 years old. I feel like I'm 35. I feel like I'm 50. I feel like I'm just getting started in my walk with you. God doesn't care. He says, come on. You know what, God? I want to have such a close relationship that you are as real to me as the person speaking right now. And he says, come on. You know, Lord, I need my finances so that I can try to give more to the ministry so I can live a little bit better. And God says, come on. He says, pick yourself up by the wayside. Give me your talents and your gifts. Use what you have. Come to me and let me worry about the details. Let me worry about the details. Never once in here can I find where God asked any of the people who did a great thing for God to write the details so that God has a map. Mm-mm. I'm going to tell you what they did do. Every person in this book that did something what we consider to be great for God was people just like me and you, living their life. And then when God gives the inkling, pick up the ox goad, go down and get you some stones, walk around the wall of Jericho 7 times. Get up and go. Moses, go. Lord, who am I? All I have is a stick. Throw it on the ground, Moses. When the power of God touches it, it eats up Pharaoh's snakes. Take up the staff, Moses. When you lift it up, I'm going to part the waters. Ordinary people. I believe they had some elements of doubt in their mind as to whether or not they could carry out what God is saying to them. But let me tell you what God did in every situation here. God went and found them by the Sea of Galilee. God went and found them in a cave hiding. God went and found them keeping the sheep. God went and found them on their workplace. And he said, I want you to start right where you are. And I want you to start using what I give you. And I want you to let me touch it and bless it because I want you to be undivided. Don't sweat the small things. Let me take care of that. You just start going forward. You just start moving forward. James 1:8 tells us this: a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I went to the dictionary and I looked up double-mindedness, and it says wavering in your mind or undecided. You know what? I woke up this morning and I went downstairs and I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, it's 6 o'clock in the morning and we're going to your house, and I need you to move. I need you to touch. I need you to change somebody's life, change their perspective, pick them up, put their feet upon a rock. And you start pacing and praying and worshiping until it's time to get here. But if I get up on Monday morning and I don't have that same attitude in a kind of sort of little bitty sense of the imagination way, I'm double-minded because I'm a little undecided how I'm going to spend my morning. Do you follow me? We might wake up today and say, you know what, God? I was a farmer. I have an ox goad and I'm going to go at it. But then tomorrow we're like, I don't really know if I want that fight or not. I want to be healthier. I don't know if I want that sacrifice and fight it takes to be healthier. I want to quit this. I want to start this. I want to do this. But I'm not so sure that I want all of that. You know, Lord, I really want to go your way. I really want to do it your way. But today I'm not really feeling like it. That's where we live. We have to overcome the I don't really feel like it. And we have to say, you know what? Yesterday I got up and I'm worshiping and I'm praising, and today I get up and the bank is overdrawn and the telephone is ringing and the people are threatening to turn off my utilities and I really can't figure out how to put gas in the car, but I'm going to start my day out worshiping anyway. And then confront the problems of the day with the things that God has given me. Sometimes God is, I don't really want to say holding out on us. God has what we call His perfect timing. His perfect timing. God obviously does not wear the same kind of watch that I watch. And if it does, maybe He's on mountain time. Or maybe He's on Pacific time, or maybe He's on Tokyo time. I don't even know what that is. But if we'd be honest with you, that's how we feel. Because we're praying and we really want God to move now. And we really want to tackle this obstacle in our life. We really want to overcome this addiction now. Or we really want to overcome this problem now. Or we really want to overcome this pride or this shame. And we really want to do it now. But God may say, once you've picked up the ox goad and you start the battle, I'll make sure you go to the end. Not necessarily that you get to run out on the battlefield with the ox goad and shout, my name is Shamgar, and you take the first one down and then the whole army runs and hides. You may have to stay with it until the end. You may have to keep on going for 600 days. For 600 years or 6,000, it makes no difference to me. God may not let you take down the first one or overcome the first obstacle and then cause the army to flee because of these rumbling footsteps coming through the mountains. You may have to continue the fight all the way to the last one. And then you can look around and say, look what the Lord has done. We get so caught up, sometimes we win a battle, and then we want to do this. Look what I did. No, you didn't. Don't take God's glory. Let Him have it. Give it to Him. It's His. You may have to go all the way to the end. Don't become divided. Don't become double-minded in it. Set your mind right where you are. Pick up your weapons God give you and start forward. Stay focused. Stay focused. Romans 4:21 in my closing. Romans 4:21. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised He was also or able also to perform. If you're not fully persuaded, you will be double-minded. We either do or we don't do. That's the truth. That's where we're at. You have to be fully persuaded you want the marriage to work out. You have to be fully persuaded you want to be delivered from this whatever it is, this substance or this problem or this depression. You have to be fully persuaded that you want a relationship so close to Jesus that you're willing to give up that sin for it. You're willing to get off the fence. You're willing to stop dibble-dabbling and say, you know what, God, what I really need in my life is you, and what I want in my life is you. And then we got to take inventory and say, do I want the sin or do I want you? And right here this morning, we all say, I want God. That's what every one of us just said in our heads. But then on Wednesday, when we're out there in the world and we laid the ox goad down for a couple of minutes, we let our guard down. That's when the sin comes sneaking up on you. The sin is not sneaking up on you right now as you worship and as you pray and as you listen to the Word of God. The sin starts to sneak up when you lay the weapons down, when you take the helmet off, when you lay the shield down, when you lay back against the tree in the cool of the day and you think, you know what, I'm going to let the guard down for a few minutes. I'm going to let the guard down. We get unfocused. That's when we start to become undivided. That's when we start to become divided. That's how it works. We have to look at our situation every day. Every day. And we have to say, you know what, God, today I'm fully persuaded that I want to do it your way. I'm fully persuaded that I want to mend my relationship with my parents today. Does that mean it's going to mend today? No, it may take 600 battles. God, you know I've got work relationships that I need to mend and I want to mend them today. Does that mean they fix today? No. There may be 600 battles. You know, God, I need to make amends with my children or with my neighbors. Does that mean that it all becomes fine today? No, but you have to start where you are. You have to use what you have. You have to stay focused, unwavering in your mind. Would Shamgar have seen victory if he would have wavered in the battles? I don't think so. A warrior once said, he said, in this battle, there's two things you need to think about, and only two things. His sword and your sword. His sword and your sword. Would you stand to your feet? People of God, start today. Treat every day you wake up like it's the first day of salvation. Every day is fresh and new, and every day has an opportunity to revival. Every moment. Don't get caught up to where we start taking things and people for granted. Don't get so comfortable that you say, well, I'm going to church again on Sunday. It's just another service. It's not just another service. It's another new beginning. It's another opportunity to glean from the Word of God. Even if the tongue mishaps and it says undivided and divided and vice versa, it doesn't matter. It's an opportunity to stand up on your two feet and say, you know what? I'm going to do it God's way again today, except today I'm a little smarter than I was yesterday. Monday morning when you wake up, I hope you wake up and say, you know, I want to live today like Shamgar lived. I'm going to pick up my passions. I'm going to pick up my work. I'm going to pick up my enthusiasm, and I'm going to go out into the world. And in my doing, I am going to find time to say a kind word and impact the world for Jesus. I'm not going to be selfish with it. I'm not going to get distracted and lose it and become a bad witness. Because like Shamgar, I want to see it all the way to the end. I want to see it all the way to the end. If you want to see it all the way to the end, and I know you do, I'm going to ask you, if you will, to step out and come down to the altar. I want to pray over you. I believe God is going to do great things in your life. God is on the way. He's going to do great things in this church. If we become echad, echad is the word, is together. On the day of Pentecost, all those years ago, they came into echad, togetherness, one mind, one body, one soul, that idea. And they said, you know what? I'm going to go through to the end. I'm going to pray as long as it takes. I'm going to stay as long as it takes. They went to the upper room and they might have said, it would be nicer if we had a place with air conditioning. It'd be great if we had a better place, if we had a cleaner place, if we had a nicer place. But they said, you know what? We're just going to start where we are. We're not going to be divided. We're going to start where we are. And then another one said, you know what? We need to use what we have. We need to pray. And that's when God showed up and changed this earth forever. Regardless of when He tarries His coming, He changed the earth forever that day in the upper room. And He wants to do that in your life today. He wants to change you for the rest of forever. If you will, meet me in the altar. If you want to stay where you're at, stay where you're at. No pressure. No pressure at all. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, begin to speak to your people. Heavenly Father, begin to speak to your people. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name, I pray. Father, we ask that you move in this place. We ask that you move in this place. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you're in your seats, would you begin to say hallelujah? Song form. Everybody down here, do it with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continue. Hallelujah. Father, change your people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that He inhabits the praises of His people. Give Him something to inhabit. Hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, touch my brother, touch my friend, move in his life. Father, help him to make the right decisions, help him to go forward. Father God, help him to complete the race, to finish the task. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name. God, thank you for friends and family, Lord. Thank you for letting them come to your house today. Father God, I ask that you touch, I ask that you heal, deliver, make the crooked places straight. Move in Jesus' name. Move in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, pick us up. Set our feet upon a rock. Take away the division. Take away the slumber. Move us forward in your name, in your word. In
Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would reach in and you would touch, that you would move. God, as we worship, move in. Take charge. See us through. God, we're going to start where we are. We're going to use what we got. We're going to stay focused, undivided. And we're going to move forward in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Would you lift your hands, please? Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. God, I lift my hands because I know you're the answer. Yes. You're all I have and you're all I need. I got nothing else. I have you. Father, in Jesus' name, touch each and every person under the sound of my voice. Father, move into their life. Make them stubborn, Lord, to live your way. Lift them up. Pick them up. Revive them. Create excitement about you and what you're doing in their life, Lord. Give them an opportunity to see the fingerprints, your fingerprints on their life. Excite them, revive passion, I pray, to serve you, to speak your word, to pray, to read, to grow in relationship to you. Move mightily. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and grant you peace. And you're rising up and you're lying down, you're going out and coming in both now and forevermore. Would you give your response? May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Everybody shout amen.